Oh, hello, hello there, outliers. Yama Shang here, and it is an absolute pleasure and honor to be a part of your journey. Let's dive in here with today's conversation. We are here on Outliers Edge podcast, where we help you leverage what makes you different to make your biggest difference in the world. And we have a leader here who is doing so, just that. So today I'm joined by outlier Anca Herman. Anca, it's an absolute pleasure to be in conversation with you and to introduce you to our world of outliers. Good to have you here.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm excited for you to be here. I'm excited to be in conversation with you. What I like to do here is just start off by sharing with you who you've been to me so far. It helps ground me, and it just I'm curious to see what I say, you know. And then afterwards, we'll give people a chance to get to know you personally and professionally. Okay. So, Ankit, what I get about you, who you've been to me right now, is not to take this breath in. Yeah, what I get from you is like a spirit of like playful generosity. Those are the two words that come in, playful generosity. And there's like the reason I say this here is that every conversation I've had with you has been one where there's lightness that has been able to come in, but we've never not gone into it. Like it hasn't been surface level, right? We're still getting to know each other, but like there's always room for depth, and there's always room for doing deep things in a way that can still be light, you know? And along with that is I'll go with the generosity part. We met each other, and within days, if not hours, of meeting one another, you're like you made a connection with me on LinkedIn to with some other person. You said, I think y'all would be great to connect. And you know that to me really spoke volumes about who you are and how you see your world, where like I get you as someone who sees opportunities all around you, who's able to be like a global thinker and connect dots in ways that most people wouldn't expect them to be connected, and also to just take quick action. Like I get like I'm like, oh, when she makes this like a choice, it likely just comes to life. Now, these are things that I'm making up about you, but this is how you've like shown up for me so far. And I wanted to make sure that I bring that into the forefront here as we talk. I thank you for being you, and like thank you for letting me have this experience of you.
Oh, thank you so much. I think you really sort of, especially the connecting the dots bit and seeing bringing things together that aren't usually looked at next to each other. So yeah, and the connecting bit, yeah, totally. I think you sort of, I'm delighted to hear that that's how you've received, because that's the intention I'm coming from for sure.
Yeah, your being is showing through. Like, well, I haven't used the word being a lot yet in my conversations, but as things go on, I've realized like I've gotten to talk about doing because I was so used to people being in the state of being, like looking at who they are. And I was like, well, now let's go do something with who you are, you know? And what I see here is that there's like your being integration, it comes through very, very strongly. And so I'm still looking forward to get to know even more of you. This is only still just a sliver of you. I'm going to get to know the whole of you. And I think it'd be great if you gave outliers an opportunity right now to get to know you on a fairly holistic perspective. I'm only going to ask about two parts of it. So as much as I say it's holistic, it's really not all of it. But let us know about you both personally and professionally right now.
Yeah, I think when you got in touch and I saw the name of the podcast, it was like, yep, sign me up. Because I'm definitely, when it comes to introduce yourself, I'm like, where do you want to start? Like, I grew up in East Germany. I always find that's worth mentioning because it's shaped how I see the world, especially since I got out before the wall came down. So that's a story for another day, but it really has taught me to look at risk and decision making in a different way. So, and that has basically shown up in all the pivots and all the changes of country. So I would say, like, I'm definitely multi-passionate, queen of pivots, because I will not hesitate if I feel that the path has come to its end in some way or doesn't give me the learning curve I need. I think that's the one thing that's constant for me. I need a learning curve. It's kind of like that. If it flattens out, I get bored, or I will find myself a new challenge. And so I'm not going to stick with something that has run its course for very long. So I will stick for long enough to notice it myself, but the moment I notice it, I'll go, okay, gotta make a change here. And sometimes the change is subtle. Sometimes the change is just, look, I can actually put some lovely frequency in my ears and focus and actually just do the thing and stuff it and stop rambling and get on. So sometimes it's just a subtle shift like that, where I find new ways to concentrate on the thing I don't want to do. Like, and sometimes it's like, okay, I'm out of here. I'm gonna change career. I'm gonna move to a different country. Like, I don't hesitate to take radical steps if I feel that that's the next move. Because what I've learned when I got out of East Germany, and especially since the wall then came down a few months later, it's like, what we usually think is at stake, it feels quite often like we're on a tightrope over a valley, right? And you've got, oh my God, like one wrong move and I'm gonna die. What I got to see is that most of the time is a chalk line on the ground, right? So in case of doubt, I will make the move, right?
This
So
is interesting. He said, like, I'm not afraid of making radical like moves here. We'll get into the professional stuff in a bit, but you were saying like we're coming from like East Germany and then seeing months later the wall went down. Kind of interesting, like what was that impact on you as it relates to like, like the stakes? Like, can you just make that a little clear for us?
It's basically, that means when I left East Germany, like I kind of had to, I didn't jump the wall. I went this weird paperwork trail that nobody knew about. But so it took a bunch of years, and the whole time it was like you never knew when you were gonna let out and if you were gonna get let out. But the moment they decided, okay, you got a letter and it said, okay, you're on that train on the 10th of February. You can take with you what you can carry. Before, you've got 10 days. Before that, you need to have signatures from a whole bunch of people to make sure they don't mind you leaving. And the moment you set your foot on that train, everything you've known so far is gone. Like, you can get out now, but you're not welcome back. Right? So that was a decision. It was like, okay, like you go. Like, oh, I mean, everybody was sort of wanted out of East Germany. All you saw was like, oh my God, the big golden world in the West. Didn't really take that in all that much, but it was a one-way ticket, like a real one-way ticket. It's like you get on that train, you never see any of your friends again, you never go back to the place you've grown up in. Like, there's literally nothing that you can come back to, right? And so I've always had that in my mind. When there was the opportunity, oh, you can go, live in Australia, oh, start a business in Spain. Well, it was like, well, okay, what's the worst thing that can happen? If it doesn't work out, I come back. It's not a one-way ticket. There's really nothing at stake here, other than my pride, perhaps. So, but that's that sense of, compared to getting out of East Germany, nothing is a decision that is that one way with no way back, that everything else felt like, yeah, no big deal,
I'm glad to be slowed down on this here, because like that speaks a lot. And I'm gonna invite you outliers as you're listening here, what's is there a lesson? Is there a moment for you that also basically everything else in comparison is like, yeah, it's not that big of a deal, Like at the very at like for you, it's this part here, and it's amazing in its own right. And I just want the outliers for us to like think through what's that. Is there an anchor point for us to be able to look at and be like, well, relative to this, what's the like worst case scenario is still pretty good, I appreciate that, Anka. I appreciate you bringing that in. Sorry, what ends up happening is when I bring these kinds of questions and I pose it to outliers, I realize like I myself have to play the game. And yeah, I think what's coming for me, if I'm gonna answer that question myself, is I feel like for me it's like this component of like I'm like I have statement, I'm not supposed to be here. So I've gone much further than anything that I had like imagined for myself by the time I was 18, you know? And it's like, I think like the thing that plays in my mind is I'm like two things. One, worst case scenario, I just go back to a life that was much closer to what I imagined for myself at 18, which wasn't that bad. And then the second thing is I'm like, if I got here once, I can do it again, you know? So I wanted to play that out here in real time as well. All right. So thank you for that. Let's continue on here. Like, tell us about what you do professionally. Tell us about like that side of you here. Why don't we start with where you are right now? And then if you want to go and let us know about some of the journey that you've had beforehand.
I think the journey is sometimes it's a little bit like kind of it helps understand all that. But no, bottom line, like my focus currently is like what you can see on the bottom there, it's soul touched by dogs. And I'm a crazy dog lover, always have been, always wanted the dog, and then didn't actually have the chance to have my own dog until I moved to Spain. And there's been that sense of, oh, I want to do something, like I just want to do something with dogs, for dogs, whatever. And so finally, I decided to take some of my own medicine. And because I had been working with, you know, coaches, experts, people who want to offer services, programs online, and find like, I don't know, where does the button go? You know, kind of usually people come to me because they have tech problems. My background's in software development, so that tech stuff's easy for me. And I also have tech background in teaching, so I find it easy to help people understand what they need, how they need it, how it all fits together, so to take the overwhelm out of it. So people usually come because there's like, oh, I don't know the tech stuff. And I've now taken everything I've learned about business, about tech, about marketing, about like anything to create this project out of nothing, like literally 7 months ago. An idea, it was a spark of an idea, and I did what I always do, like take an idea and make it happen and just follow the next nudge and follow the next and take the next step. As you said before, yeah, I don't think too much. I'll just take the step, right? So started out with a newsletter, then oh, I could interview people, start interviewing people. Well, we can turn that in a podcast. I've been doing podcasting anyway, so there was a podcast, and then people started telling me like, hey, you know, your whole energy lights up when you talk about this. Like, I can see this turn into your main thing. And I'm like, ooh, I'd love to. Not quite sure yet how. Next thing I see, I get invited to be on a summit. And I'm like, hey, I'm doing summits all the time anyway. So I posted my first summit. And so this is pretty much merging into my main business now, where there's a platform for dog lovers who want to have more of a relationship-based approach to their dogs. Like, so it's not about like, oh, I've got to kind of train you into submission. And it's also not about, let me paint you pink, you know? So it's like to literally recognize and appreciate and value that, like the wisdom and the soul that dog brings to the table, right? And literally embrace that and find the trainers and the vets, the people who kind of on board with that. And so there is that platform, the podcast, it's all aimed at people like that. But it turns out the business opportunity kind of stumbled across my path by itself because it's the actual experts that quite often are just like the coaches I've been working with. They're great at their thing and they have got a clue about how to do that online, right? So how to build that audience, how to construct an offer, how to kind of put this out there, right? So it's like literally the same work, but everything's really focusing in on that. And this whole project, like that process of creation, is the perfect example. Like that's what I've always done in a million different ways, but having a spark of an idea and making it happen. And it feels to me that this time this isn't even a pivot. This is just like the culmination. It feels like all the other things I've done were there to teach me what I needed in order to pull this thing off and make it big.
It was so cool when you use the word culmination. That was a word that was also coming to mind. You're like, I was like, it feels like a culmination. It feels like you've been able to take the various parts of your world and then, like, with ease and smoothness, bring it in. Because you were saying, like, you're like, oh, I've done a lot of summits. Let me just, like, do a summit. Oh, yeah, I've already podcasted. Let me just go ahead and make a podcast about this. And just allow the ease of this here. And I'm even hearing from you An ability to I get this as one of your skill sets, an ability to translate things that you've done in the past into new arenas with relative ease, right? So
Yes.
you just did, and this conversation was really fun. You're like, yeah, I had been helping entrepreneurs and people, coaches and people who build online businesses with the technical aspects of their business, from how to do this and how do I get out there and building their things. I'm like, that's more or less the same thing with like dog, you know, like dog owners and dog lovers in this environment. I'm like, it's cool to see how you made like how like you're able to create that connection and create that bridge between things. And I think it goes back to that area of like where people might think it's a completely different business, though. Like you're doing something completely different, aren't you? You know?
Like that's a funny one. Actually, this is not even an extreme one. Like I actually even managed, like when I worked in the software industry, right?
Yes.
So I was a software developer, right? And I came from a linguistics background, which meant I was the tech person who could talk to people, right? So it gave me like a really nice space in that world, right?
Yes.
So when I decided to resign from my job to move to Spain to start a sewing business, like making flamenco dance costumes, people go like, "What on earth?" And you know what I thought? It's exactly the same thing. Like building software and making flamenco dresses in my brain is exactly the same thing,
Can
right?
you?
It's like the technical piece, like the actual practical thing. Okay, admittedly, a roughly polka dotty flamenco dress is a little bit different from software, but when you look at the process, it's exactly the same. Client comes to you, goes, "Oh, I have an idea for something," and then they try and communicate their idea. Usually, what they say doesn't really, has some holes in it because it's usually high level. And then it's my job to kind of, okay, so how are we going to translate that into the design of a dress, into the design of the software? Like, how are we going to kind of like, okay, and I have to ask all the questions that you didn't even realize were a thing. So pull out what it is that you actually want from what underneath what you're actually saying and all the stuff you don't say to figure out what it is you're actually trying to achieve. And then we go away and do, so, okay, now we design the thing, then we do the thing, right? That's a little bit different. But then we come back and say, "Look, this is my interpretation of what I understood you wanted," right? And then people go, "Oh my God, this is exactly," or they go, "Yeah, but actually, maybe this bit here," and then you make adjustments. Right? And then you test and you adjust and you take these iterations until it's done, right? And it's exactly the same process. And building a business is exactly the same process as well. So in essence, I've always only done the same thing, just it's just taken different shapes.
We have so much synergy here. Like, there's something really essential in what you're saying, right? Something really, really essential here. And I'm glad that you brought it in because for me, I often say to people when they come on the podcast, look, I bring on experts, but I'm not interested in your expertise. I'm interested in your experience because I want to help people see the best principles rather than like, and I'll use best, but like the principles behind things as opposed to the practices there, right? And what I heard from you is like the principles that you know work. Like you have a process that worked. And it's like I was a math major for a little while, then an economics major. And like to me, they're all just variables. You're like, we're following the same process, right? But whether, you know, this variable is I'm creating a You know, I'm developing software, or I'm like developing clothing that like things that people would love to wear, or I'm developing a great like relationship with like there's so many different ways of doing it. But at the end of the day, like how do I go develop things? And you've been doing that over and over and over and over again, and that part has continued to be skilled up. And it's almost like that's the industry agnostic, that's the focus agnostic
Absolutely.
component. Outliers, I'm going to pause and ask you right now to think about what's that thing? If you stripped off like what other people said or other people would look at on the surface and say like this is what it must look like. If you just got down to the core of what you do and what you have been doing over and over again, what does that look like? What is that core? And then I'm going to ask you once you pause, think about that. And if there's another part that goes along with it, is for what you're doing now. What parts of your core practice are missing? And if you're good with it, I'll like I'll even I'll I'd like to join you in this part here because I recognize for myself, part of the reason we're having this conversation right now is I recognize for myself that I've built business differently than everything else I've done, right? I'm great at building community. I'm great at galvanizing for movement, you know? But when it came to business, I'm like, okay, now I have to be entrepreneur. And when I think about it, I'm like, it's not that much different than what I was doing with the community, you know? And you know, we making this bringing this even more to like this current moment. I'm recognizing that from honestly, like my entire life, every time I go into a new environment, like success comes, but it usually requires me spending time getting to know as many people as possible without any real agenda, just making sure that we're getting to know each other. And then it takes some time, usually about like there's a time period in there, but all of a sudden new opportunities start to flourish. Opportunities that I didn't even know were there, and new connections get to be there, new projects come to life, so on and so forth. And I recognize in my business, I'm like, I didn't do that. I was like, oh, what's the direct marketing approach? Or let me go out and make content and just put it out into the world. But it was me in isolation, even though I was still with people. And now that we're here in this podcast, I'm like, oh, I get it. I'm just gonna like keep meeting people without expectation, and we'll see where things go, because they always like this is part of the process. So I like this element of like understanding what works for you and the process that you use, and being able to do it intentionally over and over and over again. What else would you like to share around this?
Actually, that, like what you just said, this piece of without agenda, like when it comes to building business, like I have so many, like what I usually recommend people do is usually the opposite of what they've been taught, right? And it's literally, you know, when everybody always says, like an example, oh, you've got to focus on money-making activities, right? And I'm always like, well, good luck with that. Who are you to think you know what that is, right? Because in my world, literally what you just said, it's there's even a, I don't know, there was a, I don't know whether it's going to turn into a book, but like there is something that I have under this whole umbrella of don't try and control the ripples, just throw the damn stone. There is so many examples where I've done stuff that on the outside made no sense, definitely did not fall into the category of money-making activities, like flying over to London, like to the UK for a 10-minute talk. People go, you crazy? Yeah, I don't know. I just have a sense like, I go there, meet people, then I got met other people and I got a client out of that and somebody who I've been with, and there's so many things came out of that visit that you could have not ever imagined. And when I first sent that little reply, when somebody says, hey, we're looking for speakers, right? So I'm always for following the flow, following the nudges, letting go of like, oh, this is how you've got to do it, and trusting, like almost like looking like nature never rushes. Like, just trust that the next step, and even if you don't see at the moment like how this will fit in, if you feel drawn to it, if you have that, follow it like relentlessly and ruthlessly and see. And it's really funny how people struggle to allow themselves to let the bars, like, that those little safety rails, because they think like, if I don't have my morning routine and if I don't have all these rules to whip myself into shape, people seem to have that sense that, oh my God, I'm never going to get anything done. And when they allow themselves, and I usually say this, look, start with a Sunday afternoon when you have no obligations, just follow. Oh, I kind of feel like going to the fridge now. Well, do that. I feel like going for a walk. Do that. When you actually follow that, incredible what people come back with. I've not slept like that. Actually, my work has improved. I've had an idea and I just sent it out and somebody, it's just incredible. So if I've seen one thing, especially in that creative realm, and it's every creative, every maker understands when you say, when you're in creative flow, oh, my happy place. You know how many people love sewing and do that kind of stuff? Because it's my happy place. Why? Because you're in that creative flow where there's no time, there's no second guessing, there's no, you have no thinking around anything, right? And that's when you function best. That's when we learn, that's when we see opportunities, that when we can problem solve, when we don't, when we make decisions like this, you know, you think, well, wouldn't we want to spend as much time as we can in that space rather than, oh my God, I'm not there yet, I haven't reached the goal, you know? So it's like, why am I not faster? Why is this person, you know, that everything that puts pressure on takes us away from that flow. So I'm like, well, okay, that makes sense on all the levels, like, you know, on a gut level and on a rational level even. So why don't we just lean into that? You know, I started it as an experiment, I don't know, 2, 3 years ago. I've never gone back, right? So, and anybody who's, you know, I guess it feels, I don't know why it feels that it needs courage to let the shoulds and the musts and I have tos kind of drop. You know, but people really struggle with it. But when they do it, I've not ever seen anybody regret it, right? So, and when you lean into that joy also, like what you mentioned before, I love that you picked that up, that lightness, you know, because when the heaviness gets, when the pressure and the heaviness gets dropped, everything goes easier, you know, and you people end up achieving things that they go, you know, how often I hear this when people say, I don't know, I can't believe like in the last 2 months, I've done more than I've been trying. Did you realize that I've been trying to do this thing for 5 years? You know, and so there is definitely, and the more I kind of, I've experienced it for myself a long time ago, so I know. But so the more I kind of, you know, tease people to lean into that, the more I see that it works with other people too. So I think it's just human nature, and we're just trained out of it, really.
Yeah, I like this element of like trained out and then bringing in new forms of training. As you're talking, it's there's elements of, so you're catching me at a time where I have my personally just like move from a place of almost like the more rigid must, like I have a math background, so I really went in hard on like my math and systems and so forth, and I was like, if I just do this, then this will happen, and then this needs to be in place, and then that happens, and then this is going to come over here, and then that's going to come out at the end, and like I just need to go do it. And now you're catching me in a place where it's actually interesting. It's like it's there's a juxtaposition that's taking place, and I'd be kind of curious about it for you, about how you live in in multiple worlds around it, or if you are. But the I have found that I'm actually feeling more free now because I've actually put in place various systems that work for me to allow for things to happen. So an example being a simple example being like people are coming on the podcast. I know from past experience, some people decide they would become clients, some people become partners, some people we go out, like we just do all these things together. Some people become friends, some people I'll travel to different countries and we'll see each other there. Like there's so many things that come from it. But in the past, without me like being in an abundant spirit, I was like, I'll always go with whatever comes in, but I didn't actually put together various like systems to help facilitate the various directions things tended to go. You know what I'm saying? And so I'd be kind of curious for you how you've been able to meet being in the moment, allowing flow to create new opportunities for you, while at the same time being able to leverage the processes and the past things that you've done along the way. I think it'd be really meaningful.
That's an interesting one because it, like they totally coexist in my world. You know, like the software developer in me goes like, ooh, you know, the moment I type something twice, I'm gonna, you know, create something to, you know, and I'd rather spend the time to create a system so the third time I'm not gonna have to repeat it. So anything that is repetitive or, you know, yeah, oh yeah, I'm big on systemizing things. Systems, things that I feel can be systemized, right? Say, for example, that journey that somebody, you know, somebody comes in, you know, for my podcast, I do the same. Somebody comes in, and when they come in, depending on, you know, how this goes, how that goes, well, okay, the next step is this. Maybe I'll invite you to speak on a summit. Maybe I'll invite you to come do a master class. Maybe you go, holy cow, I don't know how to, can you help me with this, right? So it's like, yeah, and all that. I don't want to spend my time sending emails forwards and backwards to kind of, oh, when can you do this? Can you, like, no, that needs, like, I want that slick. And so that doesn't take away my time. So it feels the systems are like a beautiful headspace for you. Because it kind of don't it frees you up from those repetitive, boring tasks that, get in the way of growing and creating and connecting.
Well, I'm really grateful for where this conversation has gone so far. We're going to start wrapping up here. And I want to make sure that we'll end with three fairly quick questions. All right. The first one is like, you're talking outliers. We've gone a bit into like how you see the world, how you've been able to like enter flow, how you've been able to look at things and just like keep moving forward and know where the stakes are for you and so on and so forth. If there's some message that you'd like to leave for outliers, a takeaway or something, I call it an outsight, something that you would love for like, I'm like, I know my insights that comes from me, but an outsight coming from you, what's something that you like to leave with outliers here today?
I guess, what pops to mind is something I say to people all the time. It's like, in case of doubt, try it out, because it's the only way to find out.
In case of doubt, try it out. That's the only way to find out. By the way, I kind of want to have that on the back. Like I could see like one of the
Going to be a
graphics, the
t-shirt
artist.
for that,
Yeah, yeah,
right?
yeah, yeah. I'm like, if you're still sewing, I'll get that pillow. Like it's all that. All right. Well, keep that in there. Let's put it in action, outliers. Anka, like for those of us that want to continue to stay in your world, that want to go into flow with you, that want to like keep figuring out like their own processes and their own ways of like continuing to grow, like what's the best way for them to go about doing that?
Well, if you love dogs, then you come to Soul Touched by Dogs. If you're not into dogs, then ankerherman.com is a good place. I'm on LinkedIn too. There's not that many with the same name, so I'm active there. So that's an easy place to connect. But my sort of my main website is a good one too. So
All right. And
easy.
Herman is spelled with two R's and two
Yes,
N's.
two R's and two N's. Yep.
Nice. Well, that's fantastic. And then we'll wrap up then with this last question here. And I call it the time capsule question. And it's a simple premise here. Like, Anka, you've been living your life right now. And in this moment, you have like all the wisdom of every second that you've had so far, right? What's a message that you would leave for yourself to hear maybe in like 10 to 15 years on a day where like, the wisdom you have right now would be really, really meaningful for them without knowing what it is. It's like, what would you, sh what message would you leave for yourself to pick up again in 10, 15 years just to remind yourself of something that you know to be true right now?
We're part of nature and nature's perfect. So don't try and mess with it. Don't try and, like keep your fingers out of the machinery. Don't mess with stuff that isn't yours to mess with.
I appreciate you very much, Anka. Thank you so much here, Outliers. Make sure you like follow along, like keep going down the world. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I look forward to everything that comes from here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.